What do zombies, Motaba, and a guzzling wasteland have in common? They're just like COVID-19.
Join us for Apocalypse Now as we review some of the best and worst pandemic, post-apocalyptic, and general end-of-the-world films and relate them to today's current predicament.
Give us a listen. We might just save your life and then share it with a friend. Or don't. Whatever. It's not the end of the world.
Join Scott.
And Callum.
And Dez. Every Friday for a new episode of Apocalypse Now.
Because you never know.
Hello, gorgeous beasts. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast and enjoying it and staying with us and doing deep woo-woo stuff while at the same time getting your laugh on with Cassidy and myself. We want to let you know before the podcast today that I'm doing a 3-day healing retreat in Mancos, Colorado, known to many a spiritual practitioner as the womb of the world. We have room for 10 people to join us on this 3-day healing retreat, during which time I will be channeling all of the different light beings that desire to come through. So different races of light beings exist, like the Mintakans and the Pleiadians and the Sirians and the Lyrans. And they like to show up and contribute high vibrational healing energy. So what we'll do is November 6th through 8th, you'll join us in person here in Mancos, Colorado. We've got discounted hotel rooms for you all set up. It'll be stunningly gorgeous and crazy high vibe. And this is for people who are looking for healing, integration, and or to know God and the divine more intimately. You don't have to be traumatized to be on a spiritual path. And being traumatized is kind of helpful when you're on a spiritual path. So join us November 6th to 8th, Mancos, Colorado. Email me if you're interested, klrubin@gmail.com. That's K as in kiss, L as in love, R-U-B-I-N at gmail.com.
Welcome to that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions you're asking. You find them inside you, beside you, reciting the records of casual. We laughing, we drafting the passion through bearing. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listen, we traveling. Consciousness always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magicless, fascinating. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
Oh, you were, where were you?
In Petati.
Where the fuck is that?
All right. Should we just start?
Yeah,
chatting?
We started.
All right.
Yeah.
I spent the last 4 days on a little mini staycation doing a little house sit up in Petati, which is north of Petaluma, which is north of Novato. Do I need to keep moving south?
Right. No, I love Petaluma.
People know what Petaluma is.
Ish, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It goes Petaluma, Pen Grove, Cotati, Rohnert Park, Santa Rosa.
Wow, well done.
Yeah, it's important that people know exactly where things are.
Way to lay the really specific names of towns out in order for us. Way to do it.
These things matter. Anyway, I was on a little staycation, just hung out in a big house alone.
That's great.
With a dog.
Oh,
nice.
What kind fluffy of dog?
Just a fluffy white mutt, like poodle, cute terrier, maybe.
Small, medium, big?
Medium, small. Like big lap sit, but not like
cute.
Yeah.
Speaking of poodle medium somethings, yesterday, yeah, walking on the trails outside my apartment, a large Labra doodly something fully attacked my tiny, wonderful dog.
No.
Bit her on the hip, and full on like, so she goes flying in the air. My dog, she's like 9 pounds, comes into my arms, shaking, freaking out. The dog, the big dog, puts its paws on my shoulders, trying to continue to get at my dog and snapping. It turned out fine because she, like, the dog, like, made like a, I don't even know how to explain it, like, kind of a bit of my dog's fur is missing on her hip, tiny, tiny bit, with like a, it didn't puncture her skin, but it made like a mark.
Right.
And so my dog, after like 5 minutes of being like, what the fuck was that? Was fine. I, however, was fucked up all day.
Yeah.
All day.
like the adrenaline through my body, the threat, it felt really scary. I wasn't sure if my dog was okay. I felt the lady was really nice. She was like, I can't tell you how bad this makes me feel. This is my worst nightmare. I'm so sorry. And then she had like a whole story about why the dog, like the dog's history and why she doesn't. And I was like, if that's the dog's history, maybe the dog should always be on a leash, because she wasn't on a leash.
Oh, no.
On the trails.
On the trails, not even at the dog park.
No, exactly. And so it wasn't great. And then, but she was nice. And I didn't want to like be extra punitive of this woman who was like freaking out too. And she was just glad that I wasn't like mean to her. It turns out she's an ex, like a retired hospice nurse. And she's been texting me like, how are you today? How's
the grief?
Oh, they're
the best people in the world. The
hospice
nurses. She's
the best. And so honestly, it couldn't have been like a better outcome of the whole thing, but it just like threw me, you know?
You're having a rough couple of days, sounds like.
Yeah, we were talking about before we got out. I'm going to talk about it.
Get it out
just
there.
Because we're going to be human beings like that. I'm now going through a breakup in the middle of a quarantine pandemic dog bite series of days, which is, you know, and let's be real, going through a breakup with a wonderful, loving, generous, great human.
Yeah.
Who's not even a dick.
And she
angry. I don't get to be mad at him. Nothing. And it was my fucking choice. So that's the worst. Because then I'm a dick and I'm sad. And it's a fucking... It's not the worst for me. It's probably worse for him, but I feel terrible. Terrible. Name a level on which you can feel terrible, and I have it happening.
Okay.
I am sorry to hear that. That's fucking rough.
Name a level. You didn't name one.
Oh, seven. Is that how this works? I guess I misunderstood the question.
Thank God, no. Thank you for that. Listen, if there were ice cream in the freezer, literally, I would only eat it. I would only, for every meal and every snack, eat ice cream. And then I would feel terrible for being fat, in addition to being miserable on all the levels. So I'm like, let's keep one level tidy.
All right. So a level on which do you feel bad on the level of your connection to source?
No, but yes. And here's why.
Okay.
Oops. Fuck. I just hit my... Here's why. Because when I tap into source, the first thing that always happens is it brings me right to my feelings.
And right now your feelings aren't ones you're feeling you really want to feel.
They're not my favorite, but here's the good side. So that's where I'm cranky with source. But the good part is, and this is why I'm so glad we're here right now. First it goes feelings, then the light comes in, and then the feelings get turned into like this whole other awesome thing. They get transmuted into light, and it helps me like process the grief so much faster. Like I would be used to be like, I mean, days and days and days of misery after a breakup and just constant fetal position on the couch, you know, which is normal. And everyone should feel normal if that's what they're going through. I myself, like it, I needed it to not be that bad. And so that was part of the motivation of developing this whole fucking connection to source, was like, how do I, when things are bad, move through it a little more quickly and with a little more ease? And so the real answer is like, thank God for that, because the moment we go there, it's going to be uncomfortable for a second and then amazing after. That's just always what happens for me. So thank you for asking.
Yeah.
Because that is my main toolkit.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do another level.
How do you feel on the level of your first chakra?
Terrible.
What does that mean? What is your first chakra terrible
mean? So first chakra is about survival and your relationship to being in your body and being on the earth. So I hate surviving my body and the earth right now.
Okay, second chakra.
That's awful. That's the worst one.
What's that one? You asked. I'm going to push.
Feelings.
And this is useful.
That's true. Feelings, sexuality, creativity, sensuality. I have none of the fun parts of that. and all the shitty parts.
Okay. Yeah. Cause your sex is gone for now and
done.
Gotcha. Okay.
Also dead. It also feels dead, like and sad and empty and just fucking like nothing.
Like a barren wasteland. Blowing through it.
Sad, dark gray leaves that like an emo teenager painted.
Yeah. That sounds awful. I'm not laughing, but a little bit, because you're a funny person who says things in a funny way. Third chakra,
sense of self, sense of belonging in the world, sense of placement, sense of what matters. I have none of that. Misery. Carry on.
Great. Fourth.
Heart.
Ah.
Love. Oneness. Connection to others. Community. Love.
You have some of that. You have some
of that. It's all fucked.
You have none of that? Is it zeroed out? I mean, come on.
We're just being silly for a minute. There's rays of light everywhere. But no, it's really fucked. Okay, what else you got?
Fifth. Walking it through.
Communication, self-expression, voice, saying what's true. Here's where that part is fucked. Is it like right now it's so good to be with you guys and to say these silly things and to blow steam off and to do a podcast and hopefully help your friend Desmond and do some great blah-bitty-boo-bitty-hey-bitty-bah. But when you guys and I hang up, guess who's back to being alone with her fucking dog? This bitch. So then this is funny and sad and terrible all at once. Last night I was spooning my dog like you do. She weighs 9 pounds. So to spoon her is sort of hilarious because I'm huge. And she's like, I have like my hand, like the circumference of my hand is the full size of her chest. So my hand cups her full chest and that's a spooning. It's pretty adorable.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm laying there. I'm sorry. This was not last night. This was this morning. And I'm so sad from the breakup that sometimes for me, what happens, like one of the stages of grief is the depression stage where it's so heavy, the depression, that I can't stand up. Like I can't get out of bed. I'm just like, I can't get up. But what I know is that emotions are energy in motion, emotions. I know that's goofy, but boy, is it helpful to me because this is what happens.
Yeah.
So I'm laying there spooning the dog, cupping her chest with my hand like a basketball, like a furry, white, adorable basketball. And I whisper in her ear, I'm sad. Squeeze, I'm so sad. I'm telling the dog I'm sad.
Yeah.
The dog, not even a person. The dog, that's all I have in my life. So I'm sad, I'm whispering, and I'm watching myself do it, which is funny. And then the tears come just by naming the feeling, right? The tears start to flow, which actually is a relief from that depression weight. Because when you can get the feelings moving, all of a sudden I'm like, okay, I'm sobbing, but like I'm out of bed suddenly. And I'm like doing the laundry and I'm like moving my body. I'm not just collapsed on the bed from the weight of the heaviness because the E energy is moving emotions. So it helps and it's working just to name the feelings and tell my dog the feelings I'm having. But you know, they're not the most fun feelings, but they at least get me out of that kind of like heavy weighted collapse mode. So that's one way that the throat chakra, the fifth chakra, is functioning quite nicely. Carry on.
Six.
Psychic insight, intuition, knowingness. Yeah, that's actually on point, except it's terrible in that the only future I can see right now is that I'm a fat old spinster who's like alone forever with her dog, crying into her dog like a grief pillow. That's really the only future I could see. Usually I could see the future with my third eye, but hey, we're not in the records yet. So maybe once we're in the records, I'm sure my third eye is doing great.
All right.
But in 3D reality, I want it to show me a projection of like, this opens the door to a beautiful future where the beautiful things happen and you meet the perfect person for you. And so does your ex and he's happy. And then you all are your best friend couples and you have dinner parties together and you guys skip down the river with your respective pets.
And occasionally have a foursome.
Sure.
Sure. I mean, come on. If it's cool. And seventh, let's talk about your crown.
Okay. Connection to source. Like I said already, that one, we talked about that one. I'm like mad at it because if I go there, I'm going to have to feel more, but ultimately I shouldn't be mad at it because 20 seconds later, 20 seconds later, I'm going to feel great for a little while. And then it's going to come back again because that's how grief works. Thank you. Those were a lot of levels.
That was, you asked, I answered, and then I asked, and then you answered.
I love it. I thought you'd say things like, you'd invent like funny Cassidy levels. Like, how about the level of shopping at the store?
Or
like,
oh, yeah. No, I wasn't creative at all. I went to the spiritual stuff. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, but I do want to know how you're feeling. Like, how are your bowels?
My bowels.
Yeah.
Thank you for caring.
Because sometimes I can get really screwed up when the emotions are out of whack.
This is an interesting question, and I'm going to tell you the truth.
You always do, almost.
This morning, I shat.
An entire human being. No.
What felt like 6 months worth of the lining of your intestinal walls, like the kind of pile of shit where fecal pilings in the toilet, it was like, it you know, sometimes
I know what you mean.
It piled up. It became about 4 inches tall, which
like stalagmites. It was stalagmites of poop.
In order for it to be 4 inches tall, it has to at least be like 5 inches wide. So it has something to sit on. Otherwise, it would just collapse. That's how much shit there was. And what I'm confused about is I didn't do anything different, food or caffeine wise.
Did you weigh yourself before and after?
I wish I had done that. Okay, here's another sad sack thing I did that I actually think this is a really good thing we're doing, because people need to know that even wizard healer people get fucking sad and go through shit. And like, people also need to know, like, you're not alone if you're going through shit. Shit right now is happening for everybody on so many levels. Like, here's one. Yeah. Here's a level.
It's literally like, overall, some of the worst times we've had collectively in decades, maybe. It may be.
When was a time in when it was worse?
Yeah. And like on all the levels, from the shallow, like, oh, I'm slightly uncomfortable because I have to stay home, to the deep, deep, deep crisis of the soul and survival. Like, every level is bad.
I mean, but truly, like, let's brainstorm it. When was it this bad? I feel like World War II and Vietnam were this bad, probably.
Yeah, of the times during the like 60s of like major turmoil, Kent State, whatever. But even that was like pockets of, it was really bad for a percentage of people. It was really bad for and I just think that the bubble has grown, the bubble of challenge has grown to encompass more of humanity than ever before. All of humanity, all around the world.
And I guess too, like in those cases, you had like one huge problem. This is like, we have like 15 huge problems all at once. You know, like if you look at the race, you know, in the 60s, civil rights movement. Okay, that's huge. And it's not also a megalomaniacal fucktard as the president, combined with a pandemic, combined with you can't see your friends, combined with, I mean, the economic downturn, combined with
a more global
warming,
global scale of climate change. Yeah. Climate chaos. I mean, they had it. We had climate chaos back then. Not as bad, but we just didn't recognize it. But still, it wasn't like weighing in our face.
I mean, I wonder, like, technically, I mean, it wasn't, I guess, quote unquote, as bad, the climate, right? Because as time goes forward,
it gets worse. So you're right.
So anyway, yeah, this is the worst. We got that. So anyway, us talking about it on the podcast, I think, is people need to know they're not alone. And if you're grieving, it's okay to be like, hey, because see, one of the biggest falsehoods about, like, if you're grieving or sad, you know, we talk about this on here all the time, is like, oh, like, you should somehow just get over it or pop into your happy zone or like pretend you're good or whatever bullshit like that. I'm not about that shit. And like, the thing I'm constantly helping my clients with is like, okay, be with that. Now we're going to bring light to it. That's the whole game. So if I'm up here not being with what is for me, what kind of fucking, how honest am I? How much integrity do I have if I'm not going to be with what's up? And you know what else I want to say for the listeners is that, like, I had such, thank you, good God in heaven, for like dear female friends sometimes who just say the shit you need to fucking hear. A friend of mine said to me, I messaged her the other night and I was like, he's not even a dick. He's a wonderful man. Am I insane? And she was like, listen to me. I've had to break up with people who I was deeply in love with, but knew it wasn't right. And that was a nightmare. I've had to break up with people who I had fallen out of love with, but adored them as my best friend. And so felt like a murderer of their heart by breaking up with them. I've had to break up with, and she proceeded to list all these flavors of breakups, because we tend to think like, it's like we want to, we always want to think that like somebody has to be demonized. And a lot of times in a breakup, somebody was a dick. Someone is demonizable. You can be like, that guy did a dick thing, or that lady was not so great there. We're mad at them, which at least gives you the energy of anger, which can motivate you to fucking buy your groceries and survive. But that's not the only flavor of breakup. There are so many flavors, and people forget that, like, just because you love someone, there's this lie that we live under. Oh, all you need is love. It isn't actually fucking true.
Yeah. Yeah.
You need a lot of compatibility on a lot of levels. Love, mutual respect, weird chemistry that sticks around. Somehow it sticks around, or you don't care enough on the same levels. It has to be this magic confluence of many things.
Yeah.
On many levels, speaking of levels, for it to work. And so sometimes it's like a breakup doesn't look like, people keep, you know, a couple people have said to me like, oh, wow, what happened? Are you like so happy? Oh, you did it? So you must be like so relieved. And I'm like, nah, man, it's so much more complicated
than that. It does suck. I mean, is there the relief though of the,
yes,
I have to do this? And that dread feeling is possibly the worst, like,
dude,
that feeling of impending doom,
dude,
necessary for action.
Oh my God, put dude. Off. I was sitting with that for a while and it kept getting, it was like, it started really subtle and I was like, oh, maybe this is just, oh, we're going to work through, oh, we'll talk about, then it got worse. And I was like, okay, we have to talk about, so we talked about all the things and I go, it's going to be better. And then it got worse. Like, that was my kind of main thing, was like, we hit a couple like actual sort of grounded specific problems in our dynamic that we talked through in like first in an argument and then in discussion. And then we got to the answer. We like solved it. And when you're with someone where you're like, I'm meant to be here, this feels good. When you solve a problem afterwards, you're like, sweet, we can move forward. When you're with someone where for whatever reason, it's not quite right and you solve a huge problem. Like for me, in this case, the feeling afterwards was like, oh shit.
I just delayed the inevitable.
Yes. Like
just kick the can down the road.
Well, but it was also a feeling of like, I should be happy that we solved that. But instead I feel dread because I have to stay. And then I realized there's no actual problem to solve. That I'm not unhappy in this dynamic because we have a problem that has to be solved. I'm unhappy in this dynamic because I'm unhappy in this dynamic. There's just a thing that isn't right for me here, period. Nobody has an issue. Nobody has to work through a something. It just isn't a fit. And that's a concept that I notice is hard for people. Like there has to be a something.
Right. We have to be able to point to it and either fix it or acknowledge that this is the problem.
My problem is like a feeling in my gut. And this brings us back to human design, because it's like, sometimes you just know something in the depths of your belly and you can't even find words really for what it is. And you just know. And the way you know is like, in this case, it's like, fuck, I think I have to break up with him. Fuck. I don't want to. Fuck. Finally, you do it. And then it felt like 600 pounds of weight was lifted off my body. There was a big relief for a couple days. But then following that relief, there's normal grief of the loss of everything that was good. Because just because you have to walk away doesn't mean there wasn't good stuff and that you won't be sad about the loss of that. But folks want things to be black and white, you know, and they're just fucking not. And what's weird about being me, I have all this, I'm so clear in the mind level. Like, I have all this wisdom. I know what's happening. I get it. I just articulated it quite nicely for you right there. And I don't get to skip around the feelings.
Right. Doesn't matter that you understand the source. Doesn't matter that you understand the framing. It helps to know, to understand it. It gives you perspective, but you still have to go through the feelings.
The only way out is through for all of us, no matter how much you know, no matter how much wisdom you have, there's going to be a process. And, you know, again,
that's
if I'm
definitely
in a relationship,
my struggle in the therapy, like, I'm really good at going, yeah, oh, I see. That's great. But then what's next? What's next?
Yeah. What's next is dropping into the feelings, letting them happen. Man, though, I mean, what a gift they are when I finally let myself have them. They really do move things forward. They really do. I'll just say this last thing, and then we can do that, which is that I ran into a neighbor, a friend of mine, who I adore. She's a dear friend. And I could tell that she asked me how I was. And I was like, well, I cried a lot this morning. And she was like, oh God, are you okay? And I go, not really. And she goes, wow, okay, well, have a good day. And like leaves. Like, we had like some chit chat. And then she was like, I could just feel everything in her was like, don't get involved, don't get involved, don't get involved, get out of here, go home. And she went home. And I was like, there's so much in that. People's grief is hard for other people because A, we're afraid it's going to kick up our own feelings. And nobody, remember, as we talk about on here all the time, nobody knows how to deal with their feelings.
Yeah.
So if I have heavy feelings in front of you, that means you might have to have a heavy feeling. In which case, if you have a heavy feeling, you don't know what to do with that shit. So you're going to run away from my ass. So it's only like the evolved ass people who can like hang. And you know what else? I don't fault people. I'm not always that evolved ass person. I'm
right,
often
you're not
the
mad
person,
at neighbor lady for bailing.
No. I was like, yeah, I would probably run away from me too. Yeah, go ahead, get home. I'm no fun. Get out of here. Go live your life. But you got to have like the range of people. Cause her, I empathize. I get it. She's my fucking neighbor. She doesn't want to be my therapist. She's got to go.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, thank God I've got two or three girlfriends where I can be like, and they'll be like, I hear that. You're not crazy. I love you. I'm sitting here with you in this. And they don't try to fix it and they don't try to change it. They're just like, yeah, what do you need? What, you want some water? I'll bring water. Do you need water? What do you need? Just listening. Got it. What do you need now? TV? You want to watch some TV? Cool. Like, my thing is, am I going to ask people for it? Because if we didn't have this podcast, for example, neither of you would know this was happening because I would never fucking reach out because I'm not great at that. I'm here to be here for everybody else. And asking for help is not my strong suit.
Nope, none of us do. I've only reached out when I was at my absolute deepest panicked, freaked out state where I'm like, I cannot deal. And then like I've reached out to you in the long past when I was at my absolute worst state. But it takes a lot. Dude. Rather than just be like, hey, I'm sad, friend. Can you just hang out with me?
I don't know about you, but part of it for me is like knowing that a lot of people can't be there in a way that will actually feel good to talk to.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like some people absolutely. You try to talk about your shit with and they just make you feel worse. They're like, oh, okay, well, good luck. Or they go like, oh, you should probably like get busy. Or they try to fix it or
take
you in.
That's the big one. Learning to just listen and not try and solve or fix has been a challenge. Like if you were to call me and say like, I am really depressed right now, rather than going, well, have you tried this? Have you tried this? Just go tell me about it. That fucking awful. That's it. Like, I'm sorry, I love you. Like, that's all I can really do. And that's probably what you need at that time, generally.
I mean, another thing I've noticed that helps so much is just I can feel when people's hearts are open to receive it.
Yeah.
Like I have those couple girlfriends who you can feel them. They're in there with me. They're like feeling it and not afraid to feel it. And that is everything. And it makes me, it motivates me to be better at that myself for others. You know, just be there with them. Just go into it. Be there. And then leave when you got to take care of yourself.
Yeah, that's the thing. Should we bring this person on? Are you ready for them? Are you?
Yeah, I'm totally ready. So all like right. Weird, awkward transition. What's your friend's name again, Desmond? Linnea, Janine,
Katarina,
Jennifer,
Marion,
Lisa.
Oh. Think of Linnea. So we're going to bring Lisa on. Lisa is a friend of Desmond, who is our producer and editor and engineer and all things golden and beautiful. We don't know this person very well at all. And we're,
we don't know Lisa.
This is our first sort of flying blind one, which
I like
is kind
it.
Of fun.
Yeah. And I think too, okay, I also like that Lisa's not like an expert in anything that we know of. She's like a lady.
Just a person. Just there's a person. Her face.
There's her face. Coming
Lisa,
on.
Turn on your video if you can. We want to. See, oh.
Hi, everyone.
How's it going?
Pretty. It's pretty crazy over here, like usual. In my mental space, it's usually how it is. I mean, maybe not the word crazy, but packed with stuff.
Packed with stuff in the mental space.
Packed.
Is how about the physical space? Are there other humans in your physical space?
Well, not in my room. This is where I hide and work during the day if I have work to do. But this is where I hide and everybody else is out there. I have my two sons who are with me half the time. And then I have, they go to their dad's. So we have week on, week off. And then I've got my partner, John, who works in the living room, which is where I used to work when he had an office to go to.
And tell us where you are in the world physically.
I'm in Lafayette.
Oh, okay.
Which is where I grew up. And I met Desmond's wife in high school. I remember staring at her hair, Desmond, during freshman orientation. You know how you, have you guys ever known that you're going to know somebody?
Yes.
You see them and you're like, you stare at them and you remember.
Yes.
Like I remember not meeting her, just staring at her hair. And then,
so you know,
2 months later,
you knew her
met.
Because of her hair. You were like, that hair is going to be my friend.
It was just this feeling. Like I would get those feelings when I was younger. I would know I would see somebody and it would be like this slow motion, you know, or something like that. And I saw Kelly's hair. And I just remember staring at it.
I know exactly what you mean. I had that feeling about when I went to undergrad, I went to Amherst College in Western Massachusetts, and I had never seen or done improv comedy before. And day one on campus, I saw the improv group perform and I went, oh, I know what that is. I'm doing that soon. I just knew I was going to do it. And I knew how to do it, even though I'd never done it like that. And then people I've dated, I've had that where you go, oh, that guy, that's happening now. Yep, we're doing that now. Yeah. Okay, so you live in Lafayette, California. I have a weird love affair with Lafayette. I love that little town. It's cute. It's kind of high end. I'm sure living there gets a little homogenous, but it's pretty damn cute and nice to visit. I know, at least for myself. And it's like just outside the bay. So you get like a little, not really, it's like deep East Bay. So you get a little distance from all the busyness, kind of. I don't know. I like it.
I have a love hate with it. I think probably like Kelly probably does too. But I came here fleeing my relationship and I had to move here. I didn't have anywhere else to go. So I moved in with my parents.
When was this?
This was in 2010.
Fleeing a relationship, a different one than the one you're in.
Well, I basically got kicked out of my house. Let's just say that.
Okay.
And I didn't have legal rights. So I moved back in with my parents and my two young children. And then I clawed my way up to, you know, renting a house here.
Yeah.
Eventually built a business. And
tell us about your business.
My business is helping people relocating from other countries or from other parts of the United States to the Bay Area. So it's not doing very well. You know? I mean, it's not doing terribly, but all these things that I've built now are, I'm like, whoa, okay, this is crazy.
So what services do you provide people who are relocating?
rental home finding mostly. So I help people find a rental home. I would connect them with someone who I kind of teach them about the areas if they need, if they don't really know where to live. You know, the Bay Area is kind of like Los Angeles. There's so many different neighborhoods and areas and the commute times and all that. So I help understand like what their reality would be if they lived in, say, Walnut Creek versus Novato or Mill Valley or Benicia. I love Benicia too.
And how did you get into that line of work?
Well, when I was living with my parents and I was a social worker at the time, not making very much money at all, doing like home visits, but also helping people find homes that were of a different income bracket. So it was kind of what I was doing. And I was also helping them with social security and help getting benefits for their families and things like that. But a lot of it was overlapping with this Craigslist gig that I saw. So I found my job, this job on Craigslist gigs. That was like, if you've lived in another country, if you, you know, do this and this and this. And I was like, yes, I do. And it seemed like I could make more money. So I responded and had an interview on the phone and they just hired me to do this for Google or some company like that. And so I did it for a while. And then I thought, why they're not paying me very much for the amount of time I'm spending and for how much I care about helping people in this way. So what if I just started my own thing and did it and kept all the money to myself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's what I did.
Rock on.
I mean, long story short, it took a really long time and it was, I thought about quitting a lot and, you know, it was pretty difficult, but eventually, you know, 7 years later happened.
Yeah. Sounds like small business ownership as per usual.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't have a lot of, I'm not in the same boat as some people where I have a lot of office overhead and things like that. I never really threw down that way. So I was actually, my business partner and my life partner, John, was encouraging me to get an office space last year. And there was something in me that was like, no, I can't do it. You know, it was definitely logical to do that, but I just did, something stopped me. Mm-hmm. And that would have been really stressful if I had done that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you don't have any employees?
I had contract employees. A lot of people that do this work do it on a contract basis, but I did have someone that I really wanted to become my, like, basically office manager. But in this work, people, a lot of the times, they're real estate agents and they do something for, you know, their main income source, and then they do gigs for me. So that's how I was doing it. I wanted to hire people, but I never pulled the trigger, you know?
Question. Very deep, very important question. Okay. Are you watching Selling Sunset?
Mm-mm.
Girl, if you need...
That's too much of a job, right? I watch like stuff.
You watch stuff that has nothing to do with what you do.
I watch like the OA and stuff, like stuff that has nothing to do with my job.
Yeah, I totally hear you. It's too inside baseball, I'm sure. But I am currently obsessed with Selling Sunset. It's like a reality show about real estate ladies in Southern California, in LA, who treat each other horribly. Like, they're just horrible.
That sounds like real estate.
Horrible nightmares. And I'm obsessed with it. And I mean, you get to see like this beautiful homes and real estate and all the wealth and all that stuff. And then all the just nightmarish, they're all married to like famous actors and TMZ follows them around. And it's a lot of drama and it's just a great way to check out of your own life. You know what I'm saying?
I wrote it down.
you've got a new convert.
Take notes. I wrote it down.
It is high level juice.
Probably watch it.
Yeah. May you find deep pleasure in that.
I want to bring up the fact that Katie, you're, you know, again, you're always showing the dynamic range of who you are, because like, A, you're one of the most deeply spiritual people I know, and also watch probably more reality and murder crime and all the, like, the quote, the sort of worst of TV than anybody I know. Like, I didn't realize there's a whole other shit show that you like to follow.
Oh my God. Oh, I love you. Yeah. We were talking, Lisa, last week on the podcast about, or maybe a couple of weeks ago, about the Jeffrey Epstein docuseries. Have you seen that one?
Dude, I think I'm too sensitive to watch things about such bad people.
I'm with you.
So
I can't watch bad people shows.
And I get depressed. I'm like, oh, humanity.
Okay,
you know?
There's a really interesting spiritual concept here that we could actually talk about that actually explains that, Cassidy. And we should talk about it. I'm not sure. Maybe we open Lisa's records and then we get into that later. But this is actually a thing that happens. Okay, I'm going to fucking talk about it. It's just coming up and then we'll talk about it and then we'll go into your records, Lisa. And just by the way, welcome and thank you for being here.
Oh,
you
also,
never said
hi.
That. Hi.
That's Katie.
Nice
I'm
to
Cassidy.
Meet you.
Hi, guys. And I want to say that I listened to Gern.
Blanston.
Just a while ago. Or it's like right before this because I didn't really, Des and I, the way this all came about was, you know, through me saying yes to something I didn't really know much about. And so, which I do. And then, but I thought I was really struck by just how much you guys are connected with one another.
Aww.
And seemed like that I could feel the love over the podcast. So I wanted to give you that feedback.
Well, thank you. That's Thanks. Kind of you. Appreciate it.
I know. We love the feedback. I'm glad you listened to an episode. Did you have any other reactions to like what came up on that podcast or besides the love that we have for each other, which is very true?
Well, besides like a little bit of terror.
Oh, that was the October surprise episode.
Wait, which one was that? Tell me.
It was the one
which
where one? You re-talked about the September problem.
Oh, good times.
October or September?
Yeah, September. Sorry, I just said October surprise because that's a
No, point. It's October.
It is October.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's the terrifying one.
I had a feeling of that. And then somehow by the end of it, I was somewhat resolved in some way. I don't know why, but midway through, I was a little bit terrified.
I think, Lisa, you should check out some other episodes.
I did. I listened to another one. I will also.
Which other one did you listen to?
The one before that? Let me think. I don't know.
You don't have to know the name. What was that one about?
Hold on. I just have a really bad memory, so I only remember the things that just happened. I'm glad that I listened to it. I have some feelings about things that come to me, and I mean, it's overwhelming at this time, you know, to feel what's going on. I'm kind of like a feeling person, but I also block my feelings a lot on purpose. But I think it's really important to actually at this time get in touch with my feelings and what, you know, so I'm not, you know what, you didn't tell me that for a reason, Des. Like, I don't regret listening to it. I think it's a great episode. Well, I went through some emotions. Let's say that. So that's what I'm actually really interested in right now is getting back connected with my personal body.
Good for you. Yeah.
You know, I used to have all these ways of doing that and they're just dried up right now.
I see. Yeah. 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 Yep. Well, let's open the records in a second and get into whatever you want to get into. We're going to have a nice chunk of time to do that. I'm glad you're here. Happy to contribute to whatever you want contribution with, frankly. But since we sort of set it up, I'm just going to talk for a second about this concept about these low vibe TV shows, actually.
Uh-huh.
So this is for the listener, really. And we'll see if maybe it turns out to be relevant to whatever we're opening up for you here. One time about 15 years ago, I was in a yoga class, Kundalini yoga class, with a teacher who said, she said very casually at the time, I just remember she sort of flippantly said like, well, you know how it is, like the higher you get vibrationally, like the, you start to do all this super high vibe stuff, which we'll do some of in the records today. And you spend 3 hours a day doing it. And I'm thinking, wow, she's inside my life. That's what I do. High vibe stuff, 3 hours a day. How did she know? She goes, the higher you go in connection with your higher self, the easier it becomes. And the more organically you are connected to the lower self. So the brighter things get, the deeper they get at the same time. And eventually what happens is you come to a place where the lower self is, if you keep going and dig down into the first three chakras and don't just dissociate into your upper chakras, which is what most spiritual people like to do. They like the good feels. So they go out into the light beings or out into the divine and they never ground into their own emotions and process their own pain. But if you do go and start bringing that high vibe light down all the way in to the feeling states and into the 1, 2, 3 density chakras, what happens is your lower self becomes fully integrated with your earthly egoic self and your higher self, such that you start to crave as much truth telly dark lower self reality shit as you crave light, because there is an inherent balance working all the time in the realm of oneness, which is the balance between the light and the dark. Now, in this context, for people listening, we're not talking about the kind of dark that is the dark that likes to snuff out the light. That's a different kind of darkness that you'll hear me refer to sometimes. We're talking about the kind of darkness that is like the Kali, goddess Kali, depth, lower self, hate, anger, pain, grief, people killing people, selling things, money, all the just right here, right now, earthly shit of life. There is a point where if you keep traveling high, that high vibe light is going to shoot down through those first chakras and start to enlighten those, that lower self. So you actually will start to be like, tell me more truths. Let's have more sex. I want to eat hamburgers, because there is actually nothing wrong with the lower self, but the lower self often gets ignored, dissociated away from, not integrated into the spiritual body. And so as a result, people think, because people have decided that in their spiritual practice, there's like meat is wrong and sex is wrong and dirty things are wrong. And I don't know, all these things are wrong. So they get pressed down and they become the shadow self, which is any aspect of self you're not willing to own, have, or integrate. But when you keep working with the light cannot help but pull up and integrate into your system every aspect of self, such that you start to be like, yeah, I just spent 3 hours with the highest vibrational light beings I've ever felt. Now I need some good Jeffrey Epstein to balance it out, because the system, the energetic system of yourself needs balance. It's always seeking wholeness. Everything we're doing as humans we're looking for integration and wholeness consciously, unconsciously, and subconsciously. So go super high and you're going to be drawn down, down and in. And that is appropriate and supposed to happen. So actually, as I'm saying those words, that's actually kind of right in line with what you've already said, Lisa, which is that you're like, I want to get back into when I was more with my feelings, more with my body, more with all this stuff. So it sort of feels like an appropriate topic. And what I meant with the story I was telling was that when this Kundalini teacher, because Kundalini is like crazy high vibe, right? Like almost too high vibe for most humans. It's so intense. It's all breath work and it's very powerful, very light. When she said it, it like validated something in me that knew it needed to drop into my own. It was like there was an impulse to bring the light down and in more than I had been at that point. And I knew that's what needed to happen, but I was afraid of it and not sure. And then she said that and I went, oh, okay, that's the thing I know. And because this Kundalini teacher just said it, I believe it. And boom, that set me on a trajectory of like some of the deeper inner work I've ever done. So you're in a good spot. You're in a safe space. I'm happy to have you. Any thoughts, feelings, responses to that from you, Cass, or Lisa?
Yeah, I think that I just decide at certain points to place limitations on the feedback that's coming in. And I do know that I'm doing that to the light and the dark. You know, when I'm placing limitation on my willingness to have knowledge of the dark, I'm also placing limitation on my, you know, my relationship with the light, and that I limit myself as a human being to.
What would you say is the payoff for, or the reason that you create those limitations?
Well, I feel like it's not natural for, you know, what I do in like my business and things like that. I'm not really like a business person. I have to kind of force myself to be, I have to force myself to do this, you know, to provide for my family and to create a life that I thought would be beneficial to them. But it's a like fitting, I mean, it just sometimes feels like if I feel all my feelings about it, I'm going to not want to do it anymore. And that's really scary. Or I'm not going to be able to do it anymore.
I get that.
I'm like hanging on by a pretty thin thread. Like, in fact, if this pandemic hadn't happened, I don't know if I would have made it through the summer doing what I normally do.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, I'm usually really busy. I usually work 50, 60 hours a week, and I usually just feel terrible by the end of it, like emotionally rot and completely spent, but also really distraught by the end of the summer. And I don't feel that way this summer. I just feel like, you know, I'm not doing that this year. I'm not constantly striving or, you know, just almost running my business out of fear, you know.
I do know. Let's open your records.
Okay.
Okay. What's your full legal name?
Lisa Marie McCarroll.
Marie. All right. And so do we need to do that? Do we need to do that? No, we're going to dive right in. Okay. I'm already kind of like in there with you. Oof. So breathe, if you will, Lisa, into your low belly. Consciously have the intention of dropping into your body and being here now, just for this short, short period of time. I know, and the record keepers know, that you desire the highest truth, or you wouldn't be here today. We are going to deliver to you what is actually the highest truth for your highest good as we perceive it and as we can deliver it. And so it may feel uncomfortable at various points. And you know, of course, you're allowed to throw it out the window and completely resist it and do nothing with it and just tell all your friends that this was just a crazy lady who said weird words. But in the meantime, we're going to tell you the truth because that's what we do. And I know, and we know, the beings of light, that you're here because that deeper part of you actually desires the truth, or you wouldn't be here. Huge part of you is resisting. Huge part of you wants the whole fucking story. And that's what we have for you. So thank you for your bravery and your courage to show up here. It's time to go in and see what we can get. Okay. You ready? Okay. And so we do acknowledge the forces of light, asking for guidance, direction, and courage to know the truth as it is revealed for our highest good and the highest good of everyone connected to us. Holy Spirit of God, protect me from all forms of self-centeredness and direct my attention to the work at hand, please. Help me to know Lisa Marie McCarroll in the light of the Akashic Records. To see Lisa Marie Carroll through the eyes of the Lords of the Records and enable me to share the wisdom and compassion that the masters, teachers, and loved ones of Lisa Marie McCarroll have for Lisa Marie McCarroll. Okay. I'm going to go quiet for a moment. Okay. Okay, Lisa. So if you're ready, we are already working on the space between your second and third chakras. Second chakra, feelings, sexuality, emotional truth. Third chakra, belonging in the world, sense of having a place and knowing who you are. Breathe into your second chakra, your low belly. Allah, 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 and allow this light, Shafi, to come into that place in your low belly, which is going to create a bridge and a connection between the low belly and the solar plexus, which is right up here below the heart at the base of the rib cage. There's actually been a separation for you between chakras 2 and 3, and then between 3 and everything above 3. And so if you will allow it, we will clear as much of that, integrate as much of that, open and unlock as much of that as you will allow us to today, such that it will become easier for you to feel what you feel, know what you know, say what is true, cry when you need to cry, have your process, and be yourself. Okay, all of the breathing and the noises you're hearing are, oh my goodness, deep transformational kind of kundalini level clearing of stuck energies in the in your body, in your second, particularly second chakra. So it's like this. We do the work for you right here, right now on the spiritual level. And then over the next few days, what we deliver here today will begin to and continue to unfurl and integrate in your three-dimensional body. So you may have big emotional releases over the next couple of days. Don't panic. Okay. Don't panic. What's happening is all the light we're bringing through on these higher vibrational, higher dimensional realities right now to your spirit directly, it takes longer for the three-dimensional body to process what the spirit can handle in an instant. So the 3D body is like thick mud, right, in consciousness, in the realm of consciousness. And the spirit, the realm we're working from is like laser sharp light. So for laser sharp light to move through thick mud takes a minute. So please don't panic. Every big emotion that may happen over the next 3 to 5 to 7 to 9 days is just a detox process from what we're doing right now. Does this make some sense? Okay. Keep breathing into your low belly. Good work. And we're offering you now a clearing and unlocking, a breaking open of all the blocks and splits between the different parts of you. All of these stressors and tensions and tightnesses and struggles you have been having over the last several years, including the one you mentioned most recently about feeling like you have to muscle your way through your reality, come from these splits that you have. Oof. Wow. I'll tell you what, you may have some, you know, you narrated or listed for us that you have some fear of these transformational moments or changing or whatever, but your system is just like thirsty. Your system is begging me. It's like, clear this now, clear this now, clear this now, clear this now. And I'm like, okay, I'm just sitting here. We're bringing light. Here we go. More light, more light. So your soul, the way it's talking to source is saying like, cool, now here's another block, clear here. So for example, you've got a block in the grounding cord between the base of your first chakra, which is in the genital area, down to the earth. So your connection to being here on earth, survival, being in a body, having a home, all that earthly survival-y stuff, there's been a wall there between your first chakra and what's called your core star. Now the core star is several feet below, it's a couple feet below your actual human feet into the planet. And so they're working on clearing that block right now. It's below your feet in your energy field. So just imagine that area for a second, like 2-3 feet below your feet. See, visualize, imagine, oh, a bunch of really bright light coming into that area below your feet. Great job. Yeah. And it's breaking apart your disconnect between your body being soul spirit and this planet you're on right now. You know, my motto is we're on this planet. We may as well get okay with that. And everywhere we're unwilling to get okay with the rules of this planet is an area where we will struggle. Does that make some sense?
Yes.
Okay, great work. Even just as you visualize it, things move quite quickly for you. Because like I say, your body and your spirit are like, yeah, move it. Quick, go. Okay, so now, yes.
Before I change my mind.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, before she has anything to say about it. Yeah, now go into your second chakra, low belly feelings. Okay, good. Be with those feelings that are there. Just let them exist. We promise you, we will move them through faster than you've ever had them move through. Yeah, just be there. The only way out is through, so you gotta feel them. Good. We're asking now for everything crusted over, buried, hidden, unsighted, unseen. What's that? Cloaked or veiled to be brought up, turned into mud, turned into water, and then turned into light. In Lisa Marie McCarroll's body being soul spirit down there in the second chakra. I mean, that was a good nugget. Okay. So there now what's happening is everything that just, there was almost like this, you can hear it in the way my voice will change, right? There was this insistence and this speed of movement. Like, we're moving this, we're moving this, we're moving this, done. Now they're integrating it. Like there was a bunch that got cleared and now there's a deeper connection you're able to have with yourself down into what we've talked about this on the podcast before, the Hawaiians, some of the Hawaiian traditions call the Unahapili. Psychotherapy can refer to it as the inner child. The Tai Chi people call it the Dun Tien. Okay, this low belly sort of center of gravity of a human being down here in the second chakra, below the solar plexus, below the belly button. You have with what was just cleared, it is easier for you to connect down and into that part now. And that part can now connect more easily down and into your first chakra, survival, earth, et cetera, which can then connect down to the core star below your feet, which allows you to like just freaking be here in a way that is, in a way that honors who you really are. When you're not connected to your second chakra, your feelings, your sexuality, your sensuality, you being any human being, right? When we are not connected there, it's like impossible to have a followable rudder in life. Like if your body and your soul and your life, if your body and your life are like the ship, sorry, if your body and your being are the ship of your life, when we're not connected to the second chakra and the core star below the feet, we have no rudder. We don't know where we're going. We don't know what we want. We don't know what matters. We can't feel. And so when you become survivalist, as you've had to be, or you've perceived yourself as having to be over the past several years in certain ways, as you stated before, the human being begins to believe, understandably, that it becomes necessary to cut off the feelings and the second chakra, necessary to have no rudder, because you believe have time for the rudder, where it's not about directing where I want to go, it's about surviving. The problem, of course, with living that way is you become exhausted, as you've stated that you are. It is never in the flow, and it will always be exhausting to do things that you think you should do rather than things that are actually in alignment for you that you desire to do. And let us be clear, even more specifically than that, it will always be difficult and slow and feel like an uphill battle when we are doing things our soul does not desire to do. Because there's what the ego desires and there's what the soul desires. And there comes a certain point in one's life where when we are not living into the soul desire, that the dissatisfaction becomes very real and palpable and constant and quite draining. And no boyfriend or money or anything will ever fill that void, the void of no fulfillment. Because the void of no fulfillment is born out of being disconnected from ourselves. And so it is the healing we have offered you here today, Will, has created a pathway for you to be more in connection with the rudder. The rudder of your life. Okay, so now they want to go to questions. Now that was a lot of information. We understand. What does it bring up for you? What questions do you have? And or what questions did you come with today that you'd like to ask?
Well, it brought to my mind, so if what I'm doing now, if I feel this way about it, that's really scary. And I don't want to feel this way about it. But what will bring me fulfillment? You know, like what would be the best use of my gifts that I have? You know, I'm a person who I think each individual is unique. So what are my gifts then? What would give me a feeling of fulfillment then?
Well, step one is you have to stop doing things that don't fulfill you. You can't feel in your own body what you desire when your entire body is filled up with the busyness of something you hate. It's kind of like how they say, like, if you're dating someone and then they're like, you got to break up before you're going to find someone better. It's not always true. Actually, it's not always how it plays out. But for some people it is, because the space in your energy field that person is taking up takes up so much space, you can't feel anything else. So you've got to walk away before you can receive anything new, because A, there's no room in there. to receive anything new. And B, you can't feel. You can't feel. Okay. Now, that being said, what is that secret thing that you love doing that you think you couldn't possibly do, Lisa?
I can't feel that right now. I mean,
what do you know without even feeling it?
I mean, I love doing what I was doing when it's just something that I do to get connected with. How I kind of like empty my vessel is through this type of artwork, I guess, that I do. Mm-hmm.
And what kind of artwork is that?
I don't know. It's like a combination of words and images. I've been doing it for like maybe like 12, no, yeah, like 14 years maybe. I usually make one or two every year and spend a lot of time on it, but I haven't been able to do it.
Is it like a painting? Is it like a video? What is it?
I'll show you one of them real quick. So that's the last one I made. It's like, they look like this. It's like I work on it over time and I just put stuff that comes to me, you know? Mm-hmm. And I haven't really, it's like a, and I, they're like words and concepts kind of, and feelings.
So it's like a painting. It's visual art.
I guess.
With words and concepts.
Yeah, it's like, I call it a mind map or something. And sometimes I would try to manifest, I would manifest things through these these images and the words that go with them. It was like, it's like therapy, but it's also like becoming aware of my own feelings and desires or thoughts. And it just feels like something's, and sometimes I would do them for and with other people if they needed that. Like if it came about that we would do that, then I would do it. Mm. But something caused me to kind of stop doing that.
But something what?
Caused me to stop doing that. I stopped. Uh-huh.
What was that something?
I felt like I wasn't able to get, I felt like I needed that. I needed the energy or something. And sometimes it would flow out and I wouldn't be able to get enough back. Mm. I don't know enough about that kind of realm. Yeah.
Here's the deal. Ready? We have all the answers you want, but it's going to require some stuff of you that you're going to have to deal with. It may be uncomfortable for quite some time. Ever since you started talking, we hear it's in the back, artist, 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 artist. Now, I wanted you to tell me, they wanted me to have you tell me, well, what is that thing you love? And it's artist, 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 artist. It is not easy to be born artist on this planet, in America, for all the reasons you already know. Mm-hmm. This is a big aspect of your fear. How am I going to do it? Who will buy it? Am I good enough? Do I deserve it? Are they good enough? What is it? How do I say words about it? How do I describe it? What website do I build? Would anyone ever pay me? All of that. Good news is you're in good company because there are many, many people before you have gone before you with these questions, and there are answers to the questions. But the answers to the questions, beloved, are inside of your second chakra. People say the answers are within. And it's like, yeah, well, what does that mean? Specifically, what it means for you is that you've got to feel into your body and move from the feelings and create from the feelings and not judge the feelings. What happened to you is you got indoctrinated into the patriarchy. Sorry to use words that some people don't like, but it's true and it's what occurred. And you got busy doing what you think you should. And you lost connection with what matters and where your soul is. Remember we said at the beginning, when we don't do as human beings what the soul desires, we slowly start to die. And eventually it becomes really fast. It's no longer slow. You're just dying. You're exhausted and dying. And that is the gift of the body. The body will always tell you if you're slowly dying of exhaustion, that's true. That's happening. That's because you're out of touch with your soul. So good news, bad news, you're no longer out of touch with your unahupili, second chakra, feelings, inner child. And so now what you're going to have to do is face her, deal with her, answer her questions, hold her like a baby in your arms. The adult you has to hold the inner child you and say, like, I know you're scared. let's make a painting about that fear. Because when you make your paintings or whatever you want to call them, mind maps, whatever they are, when you make those pieces, what happens for you is all the parts of you integrate and come together and you feel whole. They also function for you like a portal to the other side. So you're able to see what like a tarot reader would see through creating these works. Now, I ask you, what human female that you've met wouldn't want someone else to paint for them their life, their past, present, their future? I'd pay for it right now if you would do it for me. What a gift you have for yourself and for others. This ultimately, as you go forward and begin to re-remember how important it is for yourself to honor this gift and this practice, this will become a great service you provide other people. It's for you and it's for the people. And that's the beauty of it. See, these other endeavors you've been engaged in have been for the people, but they don't do anything for you. And that's why you're drained. When you just get empty the cup and empty the cup and empty the cup and don't fill it, you're going to be drained. But what if you could be doing something all day long that is both giving and filling, giving and filling? That's the ultimate goal for all of us. And that's what that work does for you. There was another piece. Oh, and the other piece is what's going to help you, the juice you talked about. You ran out of the juice and the light. You are correct. What creates the juice is less time doing what you think other people want you to do and more time in your spiritual practice. So not only do you need to create the work in order to have the fulfillment, but you've got to kind of prime the pump, as it were, by connecting to source. You've got to have a spiritual practice going on, you in particular. The light never ran out. It's just that the cup of your body being soul spirit got emptied. So you just have to fill it again with more light. And that's very doable through this thing we call spiritual practice. And for you, it's interesting. It's not that hard either. It's not even hard for you to tap in. It's just that no one is encouraging you. You haven't had anyone to say, yes, that's okay to focus on. Yes, that is your path. Yes, do that. And so here we are saying it, imploring you to listen within and to create and to be the artist and to own that archetype within yourself. Might you need to take some small, low-stress, money-making jobs from time to time on the side? Yeah, while you're building something, sure. They should be low-stress and easy to do and fun for you. Your homework assignment from the divine is to never again take a paid job that is not that requires you to disconnect from yourself in order to do it. Never again. Now,
that's a tough one.
Well, that's what your fear says, which is the next thing we were going to say. When your fear comes up, that's a tough one. How do I do what? I'm afraid. Okay.
Right.
I hear you. I get that you get it. But what they're offering is this. Okay. They're like, when that comes up, right? That fear that's like, fuck, right? That's the time to take that fear. You want to be with that fear. It's a very good fear to be aware of, but you've got to label it correctly as fear. You've done that already. You know, you said earlier, but it's very scary. Now, the difference is we're going to say it's very scary and not it's very scary. Stop. You see the difference?
Yeah.
It's very scary. And I'm going to take one small action today that serves my soul purpose, that makes me feel connected to myself. It's very scary. And I'm going to sit with my fear and bring the divine through my body into the fear so that the divine can help me process it away. It's very scary and I'm not going to give up. It's very scary. And the more I sit with how scary it is, it actually becomes less scary. See, you stop at the fear. You go, it's very scary. Therefore, no. We're saying it's very scary and you've got to go into the fear. Make your first assignment is make a vision board, whatever you call them, mind map. I can't remember what you called it. Make one of those about the fear and the terror. It's actually like terror that you have. Well, what will happen? How will I survive? How am I going to do it? How does this work? There's no way. I'm terrified. You got to make one of your art pieces about that. That's your first assignment. Don't get ahead of yourself. Just do that much. And you're so sensitive, Lisa, and so attuned to subtleties that while you're inside there, sitting with your fear, meditating on your fear, making art about your fear, you're going to learn some stuff and you're going to get motivated and inspired. Now, the next question they have very quickly and very directly, they're like, what is your spiritual practice in addition to making the art? What do you do to tap in?
I like things that have to do with like burning like resins, and I like essential oils and things like that. I'm not very good at meditating or anything like that, but I guess it's usually something physical or active or moving, like walking. I get really bored doing the same thing over and over again. So I like to, there's something about smells and also just, you know, being in nature, really. Like I have things like that that I like to do.
Okay.
But nothing really that I practice.
Here's what they say. For now, make the making of this one homework assignment your spiritual practice. Make it a meditation in sitting with your fear. Period. End of conversation. And the best suggestion for you, because the way your mind is, how it will fucking run you ragged. Run you up and down the city walls. Your homework is you're not allowed to engage with that. When it starts in, you can watch it. Oh, there it goes. The rats are running. I'm busy. Meanwhile, I'm going to let the rats run. And I'm busy meditating here with my fear, making this visual piece. But you must, Lisa, the whole key for you, you've got to feel what you feel. Excuse me. And notice what you notice inside the making of the piece. You can no longer afford to pretend you don't know what you know. That's going to be the end of you. That is literally the death of you when you pretend you don't know what you know. Now you go, but what do I do with it? What do I do? All you have to do is make this one piece of art with it and then check back in with us once you've finished it.
Okay, I can do that.
Great. Well, they just like popped me right on out of the deep space there. So is there more for her? No. And they're like, don't ask any more questions. Don't overthink it. Don't. Just do that. Just get busy doing that. You're in the process of being re-sewn back together and re-merged with your body. Your soul and your body are reuniting through this work you do and through the healing we gave before.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Thank you for your bravery and your courage and vulnerability being here.
Thank you all.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go ahead and close your records.
Okay. Thanks, Des.
Yeah. You don't have to leave, but let me see here. Nope. Yeah. They're like, close the records. All right. Well, thank you to the masters, teachers, and loved ones for your love and compassion and your strong talk. We know that was strong talky. Thank you to the lords of the Akashic Records for their point of view. Thank you to all the beings of light and the guides for Lisa Marie McCarnell that were here. Thank you to the Holy Spirit of Light for all knowledge and healing. I ask that you return Lisa Marie McCarnell to her complete human wholeness now. Return all of Lisa Marie McCarnell's energy to herself, please. The Divine Portal and the Akashic Records for Lisa Marie McCarnell are now closed. Amen. Divine Portal and the Akashic Records for Lisa Marie McCarnell are now closed. Amen. It's always just a transition for me to pull out of somebody else's spiritual alignment.
And I know Lisa has I think done some with Kelly and definitely encouraged her to make her own mind maps. And so it's from time to time Kelly will work on one, not quite as intricate and hangable as Lisa's are, but it is a gift that goes far beyond the actual meditation of making the mind map, making the board.
That's apparent. Yeah.
Kelly has an interesting brain.
And I would just like to say that I fell in love with Kelly's hair first myself. When I first, the first time I ever saw Kelly, we were sitting across from a fire pit, and I just stared at her hair all night long until we finally went bowling at 2 a.m.
I bet she doesn't know that she has hypnotizing hair. Magnetic. It's magnetic hair.
Oh, my God. Now I want to see Kelly's hair.
I did not know that. I didn't know. That's great to know.
Lisa, I wanted to share just an observation at the end there. I have never seen the record keepers go, okay, get out. They just flicked Katie out of the records and were like, we're done. You're good. That was the most interesting version of that. And just to say that, like, it's so interesting to see different people's records and how they communicate through Katie and how we interact with them. And I got the image of them just going, ping, okay, get out.
Yeah, Poink. They were like, because basically, yeah, my eyes came open and I'm like, I'm right here now. Because basically they're like, if we do anything else, you're just going to get in your head about it and trip out. Yeah, they're just like, get out, no more, done. You have your assignment, move along.
I know that's true because that was what was coming up for me is I know that I shouldn't ask more questions, you know, because I know I shouldn't because it's hard enough for me to sit here and look at my assignment, you know, and I want to distract myself from it by thinking about something else. I could feel that too. I'm like, okay, fine. You know, I didn't ask any more questions because I know, but it's good for me to just have an assignment. That's what's good for me. That's the best way to teach me. That's the best thing. And I'll come back and show you guys what I did with the, or what happens when I sit down and make this piece.
I can't wait.
That would be, you know, interesting to you guys.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Lisa, thank you so much for being here. Really, truly. Thank you. And thank you, Des, for connecting us. Have a good day, Lisa. Take good care.
Yeah, you too. All right. Talk soon. Thanks.
Yeah. That was cool.
That was cool.
I just felt like I wanted a moment with you guys after that. I don't know why.
And it may just be because I'm sleep deprived, but I have never felt such an aggressive, like if I closed my eyes, I wanted to, my body was falling asleep. So that was like my reaction to the energy that was flowing was like, like, whoa, I got to stay. Whew. I mean, part of it's the sleep deprivation, but it was aggressive.
I hear you.
It was interesting.
Yeah, that's cool. They taught us about that. I've learned a little bit about that in two different sort of structures. One thing they taught in Sufi school was they said, when the light comes through and you start to fall asleep, oftentimes there's something that you're, some level of consciousness has so much resistance to that your mind has to put you out so you can receive it on another level. Like you go, your mind goes night, night. So your being can receive it and start to trickle it into your consciousness. And other times it's just, you're really fucking tired and the light shows you what's true.
Well, I also have that struggle in therapy. Like there are definitely times where my therapist has been like, you don't want to feel this feeling, do you? Cause she can watch me. And like, so there's different versions of it, definitely. And sometimes I'm like, no, I'm actually just really sleepy and that's okay. But sometimes you're like, yeah, that's my body going, I don't want to deal.
Yeah. Yep.
And I don't know if that was happening today or not. I just noticed that it was like, wow, you are really being put to sleep by the prayer, by the observation. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rock on, rock on. Well,
who are you? Go. We didn't even say, hi, I'm Katie. Hi, I'm Cassidy.
Yeah, good stuff. And I, you know what, just like to kind of put a button on what we were talking about before, you know, this is the whole thing of my life is that having just done that, there's a saying about Pisces energy. So my moon is in Pisces and I'm the last day of Aquarius in my sun, which means I'm one degree away from being Pisces in the sun position, which means I'm almost a double Pisces. Doesn't matter. I got a lot of Pisces is the point. And there's a saying about Pisces that they say the Pisces will serve or suffer, period. And my ego, like so much of my life has been this battle between my spirit and the ego. And my ego was always like, I wanna. And my soul was like, yeah, but I feel like we're doing this other thing, this healing thing. And I'd be like, no, but I want. And I got to tell you, you know how upset I was when we got on. I feel like I weigh 0 pounds. I feel happy about being alive. I feel light and free. And I will, grief will come and go again. It will. That's how it goes. But like, this uplifts me more than I can begin to put words on. And I say that really kind of for myself to remember, like, go Katie, be of service, because it brings you right to the light. Right to the light and right to the peace in my own heart, but also for other people. It's a certain breed of people that need to serve in order to be aligned. A lot of people overserve and give themselves away, right? And think service is the two on the Enneagram will like overgive. But I'm an eight on the Enneagram, so I will never give. I don't want to give anybody shit. But then when I give, I get all this fulfillment and this light, and I don't have any problems. I literally feel like I have no problems. I'm like abundant. I love my dog and all. There's all kinds of husbands out there for me. It's gonna be fine. That is not how I felt when we started. So I say that for the people out there, check your astrology. If you've got a strongly placed Pisces energy, I'll tell you, man, try doing some service and see what it does for you, for whatever that's worth.
Do your work.
Do your work. Done. What are you asking for? All of the answers. Say what? All of the answers. Yeah, all the answers. Hey guys, thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @allanswerspod. @allanswerspod. Thank you.
Let me restart. I'm just going to restart.
That was a Sounds Awesome production.